Oh, let me pray for us as we begin. Gracious Father, as we come to your word, we pray that you would open it to our hearts, and we pray that you'd be at work by your Spirit in us to open us to your word. Amen. Well, the story is told of a discussion which happened over radio at sea between some Americans and some Canadians. It went like this. Americans: please divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision. Canadians: recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. Americans: this is the captain of a US Navy ship. I say again, you divert your course. Canadians: no, I say again, you divert your course. The Americans: this is the aircraft carrier USS Abraham Lincoln, the second largest ship in the United States Atlantic Fleet. We are accompanied by three destroyers, three cruisers, and a number of support vessels. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees to the north. That's 15 degrees north, or countermeasures will be undertaken to ensure the safety of this ship. Canadians: this is a lighthouse. Your call. Now, pride can be very funny, can't it? Especially when it's in others, and especially when pride comes before a fall, which is what the Bible warns us. The problem is, we are all proud. You're proud. I'm proud. And that is a problem. So I'm really good at parking. I can reverse park, parallel park. I can get into tight spaces. I once parked my car in such a small gap between two cars that after I'd done it, I stood admiring my fantastic work, thinking how fantastic I was. And then a lady came out from the house next to it, and she looked at me, looking at the edge of the car, and she said, "Oh dear, you've been blocked in." Which was brilliant, because I said, "No, actually, I've just parked there." And I took some pictures with my phone, and I was telling my friends. But you know what? When I watch other people struggling with their parking and getting it all wrong, I think to myself, "No, what are you doing? Not like that." Oh, some people. And inside, I'm feeling superior. They obviously don't know what they're doing. I know. They can't do it. I can do it. And I even start to feel like I am better, feeling superior. And that's what pride is. Pride is when we think, "I know better," or "I do better," or "I am better." And we all do it. I wonder when you do. I do it all the time. You know, I joke about parking skills, but actually pride is a serious thing. It's not just that I won't ask for directions, and blokes, I know that you have the same problem. My pride makes me slow to apologize after an argument. I have a real problem. I look down on other people who aren't as clever as me. I feel better than them. I hear people teaching theology all wrong. They give the wrong impression about God, that sometimes that he promises to do things that he just doesn't promise. Or they fail to teach just how powerful he is. He's in control of everything. He is awesome in his glory. He rules over all. And it means that I look down on people thinking, "I know better. I'm doing a better job than you do." It is a serious thing. Who do you look down on? People who dress outrageously or who use foul language? Who are the people you think, "I know better, I do better," or "I am better"? We all do it. Perhaps it's the people who, like me, won't be honest about their failings, that you feel that they cover up. "At least I'm honest," you think. Or perhaps it's people who can't manage their money, or can't control their kids, or people who are too fat, or people who are too thin. People who believe the wrong things. Like the EU referendum. It's so obvious. How can they be so stupid? Or even that other nation. Oh, they're so uncivilized. We Brits really know how to live. We know how to treat one another. We know better. We do better. We are better. That is an outrageous way to think. But all of us do it. Something within us within our hearts, wants to think, to believe, I know better, I do better, I am better. Well, friends, you are surrounded by people who are just the same. Church is a hospital for sinners. It's not a club for saints. Everyone around you is just the same. That's how we think. Sadly, outsiders come into our churches, and one of the things they say is they find people who feel superior. And that is why we all need to think about humility and why God has something to say to us about it. So today, I'm going to try and explain, firstly, what is humility? Secondly, how Christ has made it safe for us to be humble. And then thirdly, how humility helps us to grow. I'll then end with some practical help and I'll pray for us. So firstly, what is humility? Actually, this question is not as easy as you might think. Here is something that C.S. Lewis said, which I think is really helpful. He said, true humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. True humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. So if we take what I said about pride, I know better, do better, am better, and we flip them around to I don't know better, or even I do worse, or I am worse, well, that's not what humility is. In fact, I am better at parking than that poor person who I watch struggling. I may know better than the person who teaches wrong things about God. And you may be better at managing your money than that other person. Humility isn't about denying the truth. Humility is all about putting God in his rightful place in our minds, and other people, and ourselves in their rightful place too. It's not just thinking less of ourselves. Think of someone who always looks down on themselves, who thinks they're rubbish at everything. They don't know anything. They don't do things right. They are worse. A bit like the opposite of those statements from earlier. Well, if this person is a Christian, they aren't humble. They're actually showing pride. Why? Well, because God delights in his children. He gives us gifts. He gives us knowledge. God has a purpose and a plan for this person, and he's made them just as he wants them to be. So that, although perhaps with some hard work, they will be capable of just what he wants. They're precious, valuable to him. They're useful to him, and they do matter. Now, in believing and saying that they're not, they're saying, God, I know better than you. You're wrong. And I'm right. And that's pride, isn't it? God, I know better than you. Now, a humble person is teachable. They'll learn from God and others. They'll want to learn from God. Are you teachable? So what is humility? Humility isn't a fixed thing like athletic ability that some of us have. We can run, jump, catch, and so on, but some don't. No. From our Bible reading, we see that humility, it's an attitude, and it values the importance of others above yourself. And it looks to the interests of others above yourself. See, a humble person doesn't think first about themselves, but says, you're important to me. That's the value. And I'll look out for you. That's the interests about someone else. And I think actually to have Christian humility, we need to say those things first about God, then about others, before we even think of ourselves. Now remember, this is an attitude. It's not saying that other people are more valuable than you or they are more important. It means our attitude should be to think first of others. So we're going to move on to think about how Christ has made it safe for us to be humble. And if you can turn back to 1179 in your church Bibles, we're going to look at Philippians and chapter 2. And as we look down at verse 3, we're going to see Jesus. And as well as seeing how he's made it safe for us to be humble, we'll also see that he is a perfect example of humility. Verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. That's the value. You're important to me. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. That's the interests. I'll look out for you. in your relationships with one another have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. So Jesus is valuable. He's God. He's equal with God. If you saw him now in heaven, you would be overcome with awe. His purity and his knowledge would be blazing. His truth and his goodness would be majestic. He is God. But in the mind of Christ, he doesn't think about himself. He thinks about others. Specifically, he thinks about us. We are important to him. We're precious to him. He loves us. So, verse 7, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. He's so much more interested in the interests of others, in your interests, in my interest, and not in his own, that he is willing to give up his life. That's what this is saying. You and I deserve judgment from God. We saw that recently in our series in the book of Romans. We deserve punishment and death. Our pride is only one reason for that. But Jesus looked out for your interests. He died the death you should have died. He took on your likeness. He came to earth to become one like you and stand in your place. And as a result, your sin is taken away. All your shame is gone. There is no punishment from God for you. None. Jesus paid it all. Now, if that's not humility, what is? You are important to Jesus. You're valued by him. He looks out for your interests, not his own. He wants what's best for you, and he's willing to die so that you can have it. There was no price for him that was too high. That is the perfect example of humility. And when we see that, it should cut us to the heart when we think of how we fight for our rights, for our vindication, to be proved right, when we won't take advice from others. Instead, we keep pushing ourselves forward. No, we are those for whom Christ gave everything. When we benefit from such humility, we should think, I want to be like that too. That's the way to live. I want to do it like that. And yet, it can feel like a real risk being humble. Let me put it really bluntly. If you start to value others and look to the interest of others before yourself, who's going to look out for you? That's the question I ask. That's my concern. It holds me back. Who's going to look out for me? But you see, Christ makes it safe for us to be humble. If you're a Christian, you can value and look out for God first and then others above yourself, because God, and specifically Jesus we see here, is looking out for you. Do you trust that he is? That's what this passage says. It says, he gave everything for you. He looks out for you. And if you trust that, if you trust him, well, you don't need to look out for yourself. You can put God first, others before yourself. You can say, you're important to me. I'll look out for you. Because you know that God is looking after you. Now, lastly, humility helps us to grow. Now, Anne's slightly given away this idea. Have a look at these two pictures. They each illustrate, or try to illustrate, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And one of them is much better than the other. One of those I drew myself. I've actually got it up at my desk. It shows a fruit bowl, each fruit representing the things in the verse. And the other shows a tree with each of the things growing on it. Actually, one of those is far better as a picture of this verse. And it's the tree. Aren't I amazing and fantastically humble to put down my own drawing? But on page 1172, Galatians 5 says that there is one fruit of the Spirit. Not lots of fruit, just one. Growing on us, we're the tree. And this one fruit looks like love, joy, peace, patience or forbearance, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. All of these should come from the Christian. And we thought about Pentecost last week. We're starting this series because these are the things the Holy Spirit brings out in our lives. He has the power to change us. And as well, we are told to change. We have a responsibility. It's one fruit. So I can't say, oh, I'm good at kindness, but not faithfulness. That's just how I am. No, all of these are God's will for me. You can't say, I'm good at self-control, but not at joy. No, all of these are God's will for your life. So the tree is a better picture. And here's the thinking. If we're the tree, then humility is the fertilizer, which if it's covering, if it's infused into the soil, means that the fruit grows really well. Over the next 9 weeks in our sermons, we're going to work through those verses, and one at a time we're going to look at all those different things. But we start today with humility because it's the fertilizer. We need humility to grow good fruit. And you can see that there in that passage. So before you get to verse 22 of Galatians 5, we've got verse 13, which says, Christian, do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. I don't use it for yourself. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. You see, the Apostle Paul wrote this, and his logic goes like this. Before he says we can have love, joy, peace, patience, and so on, he says, don't look out for yourself. Look to others. Be humble so that you can grow the fruit. Humility should be in place first. So Christian, if you are humble, then you are in good soil, ready to grow the fruit. If you're a Christian, I hope you want to grow in love, patience, self-control, all those things. I hope you think, they're great. I want to be more like that. The culture that we're in doesn't value this fruit as it should, or even actually as it used to. Schools don't teach the value, these virtues, we could call them. Instead, they aim for achievement, top grades. Parents can be more concerned with trophies, certificates, and pupils excelling and fulfilling their potential, when they should be concerned with their children growing in character. We should be really concerned about these things. This is what we should look for in a potential partner, what people should value in a friend, what we should look for in an employee or in a Christian minister. Do you want to grow in these things? I hope you do. They're what God wants for you in your life. That you'd be more loving, more joyful, more peaceful, more patient, more kind, more good, more gentle, more faithful, and more self-controlled. And if you do, then start by praying for humility and seeking after it. Humility is the fertilizer which helps us to grow in character. So, we've said what humility is. Humility is valuing and looking out for the interests of others before yourselves, particularly God first, and then others before ourselves. We've seen that Jesus' humble sacrifice at the cross makes it safe for us, his followers, to be humble. And we've seen that humility helps us to grow in other ways. But I want to finish now by being really practical, to help you if you want to be more humble. And I think the key thing that you need to keep in mind is that God gives us all the good things that we have. Our skills and the opportunity to use them all come from God. We shouldn't feel proud about a gift. So imagine the boy given a brand new iPhone, top of the range, sent into school with it. All the other kids see it and they think, wow. Is he any better than the other kids, the ones who don't have such a powerful phone? Well, no. It was a present. It's nothing to do with him. Should he feel proud? No. He's just been given a gift. And it's the same with us. When God gives us something, we shouldn't feel proud about it. And every good thing we have is a gift from him. However, sadly in school, people do actually think that kid is better than them. Or that he might be better than other people. Oops, I guess that's just part of how we get it wrong sometimes. You could think of adults. Sometimes thinking about someone's weight could be a touchy subject, but it can be very similar. God has made us different. different shapes and sizes, different metabolisms. And we need to be careful to look after our bodies, sure, but we shouldn't think we're better than someone else just because we're a different shape. Let me give an example about how we should turn our thoughts around to repentance and prayer. So there I am. I'm watching someone struggling with their parking. I begin to think, oh, I'm better than you. Instead, I should turn around and say, God, I'm sorry, don't let me think like that. Thank you that you've made me as I am. I know that you've given me gifts of spatial awareness, good coordination, whatever. Lord, I know you've given me these gifts so that I can serve you and look out for others with who I am. Thank you for my gifts. Please forgive me. Help me to use the gifts I've got for others' good. And give me love and care for this person who is struggling. Do you see? It's as simple as saying sorry and asking for help. Acknowledging who I am and who God is so that he is the one who gets the praise. So I can't look down on anyone, but I look with love. We should make it our morning prayer. Lord, let me look first to the interests of others today. First of all, you and then those around me, and help me, Lord, to do that. And can you see, if you start your day by praying like that, you're already being humble. So why not pray that every day this week? I'm going to pray for us now. Gracious Father, we acknowledge before you our pride. It comes from deep within us and it upsets us. We pray, help us to recognize you are the giver of all gifts, of all opportunities. Help us to be humble and seek to serve you with all that we are, serve others around us, and not presume to be proud and pleased with ourselves, but that all the glory would go to you. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.